Stay relevant and up to date. Keep you informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review, your favorite Jewish current affairs and culture show. Welcome to the program. And today we're talking money on the show. If case you want to make a little bit of it or help somebody else make a bit of it, you definitely will want to be standing by for today's guest. If you've ever looked at Israel and heard about Our Crowd, the equity funding platform, we're going to be talking a little bit about that kind of thing, except that there is a model for a similar one in South Africa. So we're going to be finding out what is it all about, where does it come from, and how can you invest in the kind of businesses that they are looking to do. And the man who's going to help us to do the discussion today, his name is Vusiwe Kwabaka, and he's the head of partnerships and investor relations, and he's also a founding director at Uprise South Africa. Vu, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being with us on the New Blue Review.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks. Lovely to be here, and thank you for the listeners for tuning in.
No, absolutely. Good to be with you. Tell me, have you always been in this space of VC and investing in business? How did you get into this?
Well, I've been involved in startups and the tech ecosystem broadly in South Africa for the last 7 years, initially through the Cape IT Initiative down here in Cape Town and the Bandwidth Barn, which is a very popular co-working and incubator program in Cape Town. And that's where I really got my introduction into the space. And it's been a whirlwind of time. More of late, shifted gears. I was mostly, and I'm generally kind of known in this space as an enabler, the guy who connects everybody, but have taken a more different role this time in enablement in a different way by participating, getting involved in the funding side. I've been part of building programs. I think earlier off air we were talking about sending people to Israel. So I've basically had a great kind of round experience and kind of enablement of the startups and the entrepreneurs of South Africa. This is a very different proposition, but fun learning curve as well.
So talk to us a little bit about the proposition, as you call it. It's the Uprise Africa. And what actually is it all about, and what are you trying to achieve?
So the platform is called Uprise.Africa, quite easy. And ultimately, it's a equity crowdfunding platform, which has followed a very simple, straightforward model. Not too dissimilar to platforms like Our Crowd. And it follows a framework of alternative investing that has been around the world for the better part of the last 7 years, really pioneered out of the US and has built up a lot of traction in markets like the UK, in Malaysia, in New Zealand. So we're pretty late in the game, but we're kicking this off as well in South Africa. There have been a number of attempts at putting together equity crowdfunding in South Africa over the last two to three years, most of which have not kind of seen the light of day and have wobbled a bit. And one of the kind of popular entrepreneurs in the Jewish community is Charles Maisel. You know, there's a few people who've kind of had a hand at trying equity crowdfunding in South Africa. Our approach has been very, very, very different in the sense that we focus a lot of energy on the compliance readiness to be ready for the platform. So a great deal of money has gone into investing into our legal readiness, into our compliance readiness. A lot of money has gone into investing in the platform and the user experience for both the entrepreneur and the investor. So, you know, we're happy about the fact that we are effectively South Africa's very first public equity crowdfunding platform with all the legal kind of compliance requirements aligned within the policy and the legal frameworks. And we are live with a deal right now that's looking to support a publishing business with a lot of pedigree, a lot of experience, with a team that's kind of been in this industry for over 20 years. That's live currently on the platform for anyone who's interested in literature and writing and their kind of presentation and pitches that they want to support African storytelling. And we are enabling them to do that, to use a different way to raise money, to attract a different community of investors. But we're looking forward to releasing even more deals over the course of the next few weeks that range from everything from innovation to agriculture to beer companies that are looking to raise money through our platform.
Okay, so I want to get into the actual businesses and projects that you guys are fundraising. But let's take a step back for a second. For people who have no idea what you're talking about, what is an equity crowdfunding platform? What does it mean? And you know, why should I care if I'm not an investor? I'm someone who sticks my money in the bank. What does this mean for me as an average person and my money?
Absolutely. So I'll even take it even further than that, Benj. And a lot of South Africans have become relatively accustomed to crowdfunding itself. For the better part of the last 6 years, we've had crowdfunding in South Africa through rewards-based crowdfunding, where you know you provide assistance to someone and they give you a widget, a T-shirt, a key ring, or a box of a cup. So we're very much used to that model of a rewards-based crowdfunding with platforms like the People's Fund or the Thunder Fund, which are very similar to the Kickstarters as well. We've also become very used to and accustomed to donations-based crowdfunding, where charities raise money through various platforms, like Backer Buddy. You know, few come to mind in terms of some of these platforms where charities look to raise money for causes. So it's very much, in effect, the collection of individuals coming together to raise money behind a common objective. Now, the ultimate difference with these and as well as equity crowdfunding is that equity crowdfunding is in effect for equity. And again, there are various rules and legislations that govern the sale, the public sale of company shares in this country that are guided by different acts in terms of how they are managed. And, you know, in effect, what we facilitate as Uprise Africa is in very lay person kind of speak, is the facilitation of a willing seller of equity in a company, an entrepreneur, and a willing buyer of that equity into that business, an investor. And we facilitate that relationship digitally through the issuance of share certificates. And you effectively basically have a performance right to that share. And you can, there's a return on investment expectation that you can have. And equity crowdfunding falls into a broader basket of alternative investments that are becoming increasingly popular currently in the world. Some of your listeners might have heard of ICOs or initial coin offerings. Some of your listeners might have heard of peer-to-peer loans or peer-to-peer lending. So these are all alternative ways that people are now, in today's world, in today's very digital world, people are raising money. And part of your question was, why should people care? Again, you know, people make decisions to enable others for different particular objectives. In South Africa, we have the National Development Plan, and we sincerely believe that in order for us to fulfill the objectives of our National Development Plan and to support the potential of not only young but also high-growth investable companies in South Africa, we need alternative ways to help them fulfill as their capital raise needs. Typically, most entrepreneurs would approach the bank or very traditional venture capital or private equity fund to fulfill this and to raise this money. In today's world, with the power of the crowd, and again, if you're a big fan of singularity thinking and you've heard of Dr. Peter Diamandis in the U.S., you know, he talks very kind of eloquently around the power of a billion people. And ultimately, in South Africa, we want to enhance or harness through Uprise Africa the power of 54 million South Africans to enable the funding and support of early stage investable companies. We obviously follow a process of vetting these deals, getting them ready for the platform and presenting them in the best way possible. And the things that we take a pride in how we achieve this is that the way that we do this process is a very seamless process for the entrepreneur in terms of an experience. They don't have multiple long forms to complete without knowing whether or not they're going to be selected. We take them through a very human-centered flow process to onboard them into our platform. The investors looking at these deals ultimately are the final decision makers. And obviously investment in early stage companies has elements of risk. And what we do is that we make, basically we try to filter the best of these opportunities for everybody interested in investing and participating in them. And we do that for a low kind of entry point of 1,000 rand for minimum investment. And for
so you can actually invest in one of these companies for 1,000 rand. So you don't need a lot of money, in other words, to buy into an early stage company.
100%. And this is the beauty of equity crowdfunding, is that we want to broaden the investor participation. Now, again, you might imagine from this conversation, Benji, that this will allow a whole group of different types of profile of investors to participate. So again, if you're an entrepreneur looking potentially for black investors to participate in supporting grow your business, and you want them to earn their way into the equity, this is a good consideration for you. If you are an investor looking to enable women opportunities, so we our platform, and we play a very vital role in catalyzing the growth of the economy. We're not gonna in any way looking to replace the venture capital industry, looking to replace the banks, which is predominantly the way that people raise money at this stage. But we still see an opportunity in which to create an industry. So again, we don't anticipate that over the course of the next 2 to 5 years we'll be the only players in this. We see an opportunity for others to take different approaches. But we encourage, obviously, responsible approaches to this, and we very much fully engage in ensuring that this industry grows, in widening not only participation, but diversity in investors and diversity in deal pipeline and deal size.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit then about your first choice of, your first business, so-called, that you put onto the platform. You alluded to it earlier. It's something called Storied. It's a company that's looking to create African literature. Is this a big market? Is this something that you think that there'll be a lot of demand for?
So we believe that, you know, in order for it to be become a big market, you need to consider how much fiction is sold in South Africa by international best-selling authors, the likes of Dan Brown and many others, all the popular names that everybody loves. And the difference fundamentally, with this particular business, is that it comes from a very established publishing house, a stable that's very established with over 20 years of experience, a company called Jacana Media. And again, somewhere at the top of that pile is a listed company linked to various media assets that also is a parent company for the whole entire holding group. The founding team that's kind of working on this initiative is in the startup, has been part of this company for the better part of over a decade. So we have very experienced founders working in this with years of experience in the industry. So this is not necessarily a young person out of the street, basically trying their luck at this industry. These are very experienced professionals. And again, not to say that we don't welcome other people who can come with ideas, but I think we now have realized that, you know, there's a variety of things that people need to see in a business to make sure that it's going to achieve the objective to which it sets its mind to do. And their kind of core mission as a business is to turn around African literature and make African literature more widely available to tell more stories by effectively investing in them. South Africa, as we know, has got a very popular non-fiction sector, very political and kind of focused. Many of these writers do well. So as a result, because of the margins in within publishing, a lot of attention and obviously spend gets spent in this kind of particular space. Yet there is a very specific business case which one can read on the story at the Theodore website around really the business case to which they're working towards. We certainly believe in the prospect of what they present, backed by the credentials of the company, backed by the individuals, backed by the financial projections of how they see this working out. What we encourage entrepreneurs to do is we're not a venture capital platform, so we don't expect people to provide us venture capital level of returns. We want them to focus on pragmatic, very straightforward returns. In fact, kind of be more aligned to a more industry benchmark of return as opposed to some astronomical empty promise. And this is why we're excited about the approach we're taking to this process, as well as the deals like Stories that are coming, that have come out, and the many others that are following on from this in the next few weeks.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review. We're chatting venture capital, venture crowding, crowd venturing, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, on the show today, particularly in South Africa. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back just after this.
The best part of your day. At the heart of your community. All the talk. All the music. All the news. Chai FM. Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
You're back with 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman, and this is the New Blue Review, and we're talking today to Vusiwe Kwabaka. He is the head of partnerships and investor relations at up.riseafrica. Did I put the dot in the right place there this time?
Uprise.africa.
Uprise.africa. Okay, so let's go through the process here. So I actually, in preparation for the show, I tested out the platform. Very, very easy to invest, actually, if you want to do it. It's no like big things. Even the FICA stuff, which is normally hectically difficult, is pretty easy for you to do. So I invest in the company, and then how does it work from there? Am I able to sell out at some point? Do you give dividends? How does it work for the investors, and what sort of like time horizon should they look at?
So look, for these kind of deals, we obviously don't give financial advice, but my personal view on this and my own opinion is that there has to be, a return, a reasonable return expectation. We normally advise people to, hold on for a little longer for these type of deals. You know, the liquidity side of it is a challenge to all investors around the world, around every crowdfunding. But we believe that we can, come into the space and create a different opportunity for the market. And by that, what I mean, Benji, is that over the course of the next few months, we will be setting up a secondary a market kind of view in partnership with one of the already registered exchanges in South Africa. It's a very dynamic space, the exchange space. So we're looking for the right partner to work with us in unlocking the opportunity to then have those shares available to sell on. But the idea that we also are also working on as an internal context is the ability to facilitate investor exchanges where investors can sell equity that they hold in particular startups to each other. Because technically, they are not allowed to publicly sell these shares out in the public, but obviously the more of a communal kind of context that we're able to create, it eases that process of being able to sell those shares. Now, on my side, what I typically say to a lot of investors that ask me this particular question is, first prize is always when the company grows and it does what it's promised to do and sees fit, then buy back some of its shares. And obviously, this is a very much a known approach to growing a company. For example, if you look at the case for Storied, where they've made available 49% equity into the crowd, especially a company like Jacana, the minute that story kind of meets some of the milestones, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that in time that they will start buying back some of the equity from the early investors who participated early at obviously a new valuation, a company that would have now grown. There's a few options that we're looking at, but I think over the course of the next 6 months to 18 months, we'll be looking at various options for how people can discover new positions for themselves in terms of how they drive liquidity in the market for these shares. And effectively, when you buy a storage share, you effectively are buying an Uprise storage shares, which is a class of shares that's been issued directly to our public limited company. And with that, obviously, there are contracts around how each company is likely to perform. A lot of the detail around how that company is going to roll out its plan is made public. The financials are made public. The plan is made public. Their vision and their mission as a company, the CVs of the founding directors are made public. So the experience for anyone is pretty straightforward around how they make that choice. The final decision whether or not to invest really remains with the individual. whether you understand the industry or you want to support the team for any number of reasons one could have. I mean, for stories specifically, it could just be a case that you love literature and you believe that, like them, it's important that we start investing in African storytelling. So that could be the sum total. And again, for R1,000, it's worthwhile to kind of make that commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think very interesting, first of all, what you're saying around financial advice. We can't give financial advice on a program like this. Certainly, if you saw my bank balance, you would know that that would be a terrible idea from my side. But it is very interesting. And I think also a good way of, as you say, if you want to be part of the decolonization debate, well, you know, this is a sort of a positive way of doing it. I think it's quite an interesting point that you make there, Vu. I'm going to ask you to pivot, I think. Is that the term that they use in your industry? And talk to us about another aspect of Uprise. You mentioned our crowd at the beginning of the show, and you have been to Israel yourself and also have met Medved. So what was it like being exposed to that sort of VC high-tech scene in Israel in terms of what you're doing here?
Look, I think you know, for me personally, these are one of the motivating factors that has made us believe that this is possible. I recall meeting Jonathan Medved here in Cape Town, actually, of all places, sometime around 2 or 3 years ago. And at that particular engagement, you know, he shared the story of our crowd. And this seemed really possible for us in South Africa. And that was the catalyst to certainly my experience in kind of beginning that process of kind of working into the space. And again, it felt really natural for me because of the kind of personality I have, which is an individual who's highly networked, who engages very well with people, and who has experience in working with early stage companies. So for me personally, it was a very natural fit. But my experience in Israel, again, is one of those that would forever live with me as one that I think can be replicated. And again, as I get increasingly more deeper into the space and begin to start influencing multiple people and businesses and politicians, it's certainly a very recommended experience to go and experience how an economy can be shifted and how through enterprise and through entrepreneurialism, we can empower people, and how through that empowerment, people will gain knowledge, people will become self-subsistent, people will become more resilient. So that is my kind of view in terms of experience. And this, again, ultimately, we say that we want to democratize finance. The real reason why we want to do that is so that, again, we want to enable these particular things. We align our vision to the National Development Plan because we believe in the vision for 2030 in our country. And we believe that we're one of the key solutions that needs considerate kind of consideration in any government strategy, in any corporate strategy, in any BE strategy, in any women empowerment strategy. So we basically putting in effort to ensure that that happens. We also are very mindful that learning new things is incredibly difficult at a human level, and we're spending a great deal of time pushing out knowledge and pushing out education, and hopefully in this year 2018 we'll also be rolling out a television show on one of the TV networks here in South Africa, aligned to audience participation in crowdfunding. So we're looking at all the opportunities that are at our disposal to drive knowledge. I mean, for me, the way that I look at South Africa as a very small country, we can get the message right, and we can inspire not only the entrepreneurial side, but we can inspire the general public to support deserving, investable entrepreneurs.
And, I mean, at the beginning you kind of said 7 years ago other places in the world were starting with equity finance and that sort of thing. I mean, are we slightly behind as a country in terms of various democratization of financial instruments, of allowing greater, you know, connection into the economy for average people? Is this something we still need to learn and grow as a country?
Well, I mean, the long and short of it is that we certainly are, but I think there is some benefit in being slightly behind the curve, in that you can learn from the mistakes of others. You can adopt to more immediate and more relevant strategies. And I think generally in Africa, we're very good at leapfrogging and adopting the latest and newest. ways or approaches to doing things. So there are some slight advantages to that. We, on our side, as Uprise Africa, we very much engage with the broad advocacy scene. We did a presentation, for example, to the board of the South African Venture Capital Association just last week. We are engaged with the African Crowdfunding Association, which happens to be based here in South Africa. We are doing our best to engage with the South African Reserve Bank, the Financial Services Board. So these conversations we take very seriously, primarily to bring the same level of knowledge to the regulators, to the policymakers in our country, so that we can fast-track the adoption. And then people can also obviously bring forward their concerns and their questions. And some of these questions relate to, obviously, a very old, archaic style of crowdfunding, and we welcome that. Because on the day, some of the strategies that we busy kind of looking to adopt are more or less aligned to where the world is currently today. And again, you know, we're very fortunate that we have this extended network globally, and we're talking to international universities, international researchers about our work, and it's landing very well in different spaces. And I think the main thing, though, that we need to prove first is that are South Africans really interested in supporting other South Africans with their early-stage kind of ventures. And the jury is still relatively out on that, and over the course of the next couple of months, we'll soon be learning that lesson either positively or negatively, but we obviously believe that the uptake is going to be tremendous. We've had a tremendous kind of uptake on the entrepreneur side, which is always easy because entrepreneurs are always needing money, so it's a very simple one. But we still needed to produce a platform that was easy enough for entrepreneurs to adopt and an approach that was unique enough but at the same time simple enough to be easily adopted. And I think we've achieved that quite well. The next phase of our plan is now getting more investors to participate on our platform by offering them diverse deals. So yes, we only have one now, it's very specific. But over the course of the next few weeks, we'll have even more diversity on our platform and more variety of opportunities for people to invest.
Can you give a sense? Can you give us a sense about what actually is going to be coming down the pipe? The kind of companies and the kind of how it's different.
So our pipeline is quite exciting. Our platform is sector agnostic, so we'll look at deals from a diversity of industries. And right now, the ones I can certainly mention with a degree of comfort is deals in the tech, early stage tech companies, guys who are doing last mile and on-demand services. We are looking at technology companies in the renewable energy space and mobility. We're looking at deals in beer, which again, I always explain that the beer industry is something that everybody can understand. It's kind of an everyman deal. That, you know, again, you know, the numbers once shared and obviously the volumes of sales, especially in a country like South Africa, which is a high volume beer drinking country, one of the top in the world. You know, the beer industry becomes a very easy way for people to get their feet wet, as it were, because of a very easy kind of understanding view. And some of those differ in terms of we've got deals that are potentially looking at manufacturing beer. We've got deals that are looking at hospitality and commercial distribution of beer. So those deals will all be coming out, and we're excited about the prospect of those. In fact, I've been in the media quite a lot of late with one of the brands here locally called Beer House, which some people in Joburg and Cape Town will know as a popular kind of socializing beer hotspot. And we basically are looking to do multiple deals with them. And again, the opportunity that Uprise Africa offers at Beer House is unlike a bank or a franchise model, etc., is the participation of their customers in a deal to enable a hangout spot for it to be sufficiently capitalized and to kind of create that vibe. And they still have to perform to an investor ROI. They also have made promises that they'll have the best AGMs, because there'll be plenty of beer to drink, obviously.
Well, there you go. If that's not an investor pitch, I don't know what is. So basically, if you want to, you know, drink beer while drinking African literature and making a profit at the same time, what is give us the details. How can people get involved?
So the website is quite simple. It's www.uprise.africa. And again, if you have any queries, if you are an entrepreneur looking to find out more, You can send an email to info@uprise.africa. If you're an investor looking to find out more details, pretty much the same. All our investors have to register on our platform. A lot of our future deal entrepreneurs create microsites, which are promotional sites, where you can find out more information about the deals. So, if, for example, you're interested in Storied, Storied has got a platform called storied.co.za, where you can learn all about the investment prospect of what they're offering. Beer House has got one called beerrevolution.co.za. So, again, you can go there, sign yourself up. You'll be told by them in terms of you can engage the you can engage entrepreneurs directly about their vision. You can meet them for coffee. You can take them out for dinner. And so we enabling which, you know, what is going to be effectively a new normal in South Africa in the next year to 2 years. And we're excited about it, and people must just reach out. Benji, they can reach out to your show, and I'm pretty sure you'll send me their details as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We may have to have a chat with you about doing a crowdfunding for my show. I don't know what, but it's definitely going to be something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just show me the return, my brother, and we can do it.
There we go. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And yeah, go have a look. And if it tickles your fancy, do an investment. Vuyiswa Kabaka from Uprise Africa, thank you so much for being with us on the New Blue Review.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
No problem. Best of luck there. Nice to see some South Africans doing innovative things. And yeah, pretty interesting stuff.
A frequency like no other. 101.9 High FM.